All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. I don't know how you people find out it's my birthday. I never publicly announced that it's my birthday. It's weird. Everybody finds out. But I'm very thankful for the birthday wishes. Appreciated each and every one of you guys. Felt like wretched crap yesterday. Feel much better today. Well, I was preaching yesterday. Did not feel good. Feel better now, thank goodness. But anyway, I don't know what this year. I never, ever, ever get sick ever in life. I just never get sick. Literally once a decade, if that. And this year, I don't know. It's Aaron. What is it? I think number three.
Yeah,
something like that. Aaron and I both never get sick, and he's been sick this year.
I have been too. Yeah,
and it's been so freaking irritating. But anyway, felt like crap yesterday. Feel better today. About 90%. So anyway, let's hop right in. Oh, first let me say to everybody in the Rumble chat, trying to get to the bottom of it, but it keeps bumping off. I'm gonna fix it, Aaron. I'm gonna fix the
money. Don't fix it.
Don't fix it. All right, let me say it to everybody. Mike Griffith, appreciate that. Happy birthday, my brother. Scott Allott is on. Mike, Mr. Cool Dude is on. Richard Perry is on. JGCK is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Mimi 2424 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Spaz 64 is on. General Plowman is on. Linesmanson is on. Jules 21 hours talked to her yesterday at church. I didn't even know who it was. Somebody I've known for a long time, but now I know who you are on the chat. Love you, appreciate you. Lisa Kinzer is on. Alligator Alcatraz, happy birthday, young man, appreciate it. Already in the rant. That's great. We got to build it up. Used all of our funds to send Brent out on a date with his wife to Applebee's. Oh, yeah, there we go. There they are, out to Applebee's.
Yeah, baby.
Last Friday night, there he is.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
Just want to tell everybody, thank you, guys. You paid for it all. There we go. Yes. So appreciate you guys so much. Awesome job. We got to save up now. So Alligator Alcatraz has already put in $20 towards Brent's next date. to Applebee's. We'll come up with another date and time. But anyway, Tim L. T-Bird is on. Veronica 12201 is on. K4 VMS is on. DK Jackson is on. Stephan Toms is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Big Jim, go blue. I heard you coming home soon. Big Jim, looking forward to that. Miss you in church. Producer Aaron is on. Let me see here. One or two more. Somebody I haven't seen yet. There's one of my favorites. Chemical Toilet is on. Michelle Towel is on. Sexy Pony's on. Granite 2468 is on. Greg Ninemon is on. TJT1 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Seriously do. Let's hop to this. Let's cover this biggest story probably in the country right now. You can put the first one up. Piers Morgan tweet. Now, all of you have already seen this ad nauseum, so I've only got... I don't know. I've only got one slide on it because it's been covered all weekend. This woman stabbed to death by the monster behind her as she rides the subway or train in Charlotte, North Carolina, stabbed to death. I mean, absolutely brutally killed, did nothing, just simply sat in front of this person. Now, what we're going to do here, well, I'll read the tweet first. Why is the disgusting, senseless, unprovoked murder of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee? I'll never get the name right, but Erna Sarah, what do you think, Erin? Zaratska. By a man named DeCarlos Brown. That was easy. DeCarlos Brown Jr. on a train in Charlotte, North Carolina, not getting more media attention. Now, here's my problem. Okay, Piers Morgan, he does some decent things, and I like how he stands up to the trans community. But here he's doing the old cuckboy thing. Now, we all know why it's not getting any traction in the media. And why doesn't he simply say it out loud? Because it'll cost Piers Morgan his media credentials. It'll maybe cost him his show. So this is my whole problem with everybody, is I want to know where everybody's prostitution line is. Everybody, seriously, I'll ask myself that. I'll ask you that. I'll ask Aaron. I'll ask Brent that. What is everybody's prostitution line where you will tote the line to keep what? I'm just curious, where's it at? Because we're going to talk about why it is this isn't getting any media traction, because we already know. It's been basically, you saw it, I think it was Will Cain on Fox laying it out, how all the Daniel Penny coverage, when you had a white man killing a black man for very justifiable reasons, as that black man was threatening the lives of everybody on the train, he took the guy out. And here, this girl simply comes and sits, noticeably disguises herself as an unattractive woman, when she's actually a very attractive woman, so that she doesn't get any attention. and then gets stabbed to death. She's actually left Ukraine. She's a refugee from Ukraine, comes to America to be saved, and is killed. Now, why won't Piers Morgan tell the truth? The truth is that he's a black man, and we have a black-on-white crime problem. Tom, you're a racist. I don't care. I don't have a line.
Yep.
I don't have a line. My line is I will not deny Christ. Not denying Christ could cost me everything that I have. So I don't have a line. I didn't have a line during COVID. I didn't have a line in law enforcement. The moment that if the state of Florida decided to confiscate people's firearms, I would have quit my job as a cop. You mean you'd risk your $80,000 a year job? Yes, you can always make more money. You can never get back your integrity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Piers Morgan, again, does an occasional good thing, but a little leaven leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. If you're not going to actually say what's true, Piers, then why do you bother being in the media? I mean, all you are, Piers Morgan and everybody else, even the Will Cain piece won't really say it that we showed Vox. You guys are talking about how many black people are victimized by whites and how many whites are victimized by blacks. Well, why didn't Will Cain get into the fact that basically whites get victimized by blacks at 10 times the degree by 13% of the population? So why won't people say? Because they're scared they'll be called a racist and that will cost them something. I don't care about that. I mean, I'm not going to sit here for an hour and tell you that I'm not a racist. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have a lot of black friends because I have one. I'm not going to sit here and try to justify what I'm saying here. There is a black on white crime problem in the United States of America and it needs to be dealt with. And the reason why there is a black on white crime problem is blacks feel justified in killing and harming whites because they've been told their whole lives that they've been suppressed and oppressed by whites. And it's as far from the truth as anything could possibly be.
Yep.
If anything, you have more rights as a black person because they give you these special rights to the universities and everything else. Affirmative action, affirmative action, DEI, CRT, and everything else. So they feel justified in killing white people. Now, again, this isn't the majority of black people. It's not. But it's enough of a percentage that it's now become a major problem in the United States of America. Where you just have random, and it's never black people victimizing other black people in these random killings. Now, most blacks are killed by other blacks, 97%. But, of course, the white police officer like Brett and I, we're the greatest existential threat to black people. And on average, between 9 and 17 blacks are killed by police officers every year. And are far more likely to be killed by a black officer than a white officer because the white officer will lose everything if he kills a black man.
Yep.
So that's all lies. But because all these lies have been perpetrated on the black community, they believe it. You know, hands up, don't shoot. It's absolutely a lie. By the way, the guy who actually made up out of whole cloth the hands up, don't shoot thing, that was all made up by a BLM activist. Everybody knows that, right? He was just killed himself, gunned down in the streets in Ferguson, Missouri, by I'm pretty darn sure another black man. The man who made up hands up, don't shoot, was just killed himself. He was killed by the very, very community standards that he advocated for. He was killed by them. So here we are. And that's the discussion that needs to be had. So why, Piers Morgan asked, why is the disgusting, senseless crime not being discussed? Well, because it's black on white, Piers. And you know it, but you're such a cuckboy, you won't say it. I mean, you're just such a coward, you won't say it. That we have a major black on white crime problem. All right, let's go to the next one. End wokeness tweet. Here's another one. Say her name. This is a vet. This is a woman who's about to become a veterinarian. Dr. Julie, I'm not going to, Schnell. That. She was killed yesterday while walking her dog in Auburn, Alabama. Why is it that we don't have any whites killing blacks? I mean, what? But you know why? Because there aren't any. Because it's not happening. You're like, Tom, it has to happen. Yeah, it happens every now and then. It happens every freaking hour the other way around. And everyone's afraid to talk about it. Except for those of us on the right, like End Wokeness, who has a massive following on Twitter, me being one of his followers. But I'm just saying, everyone's afraid to say, I have black people that attend this church. They could all leave and be offended. I hope they don't. That's on them. This is the truth. If there was a white on black crime problem, guess what I would be reporting on in this podcast? Just like I do when I don't agree with Trump, right? We don't run from it, do we, Aaron?
No.
We don't run from it. Trump does stuff we don't like. We talk about it.
Yeah.
I get all angry about it.
Yeah.
I rant for hours about it. So, I mean, it's just whatever. That's what I'm a sycophant for, is the truth. She was killed yesterday while walking her dog in Auburn, Alabama. Rasheed Dabney arrested and charged. I mean, again, why has this guy no nationalists? Can you just imagine if it was a black woman killed by a white man?
Oh, dude.
Can you imagine it? But it's not. Why isn't it being covered? Because of the consequences to the media that would cover it. Plus, it's not just the consequences to the media. The media themselves have a narrative and agenda. The narrative and agenda is white men are the greatest existential threat to America. And that's just not proven out in the statistical data, so they don't report the inverse of that. They just leave it out because it doesn't support their agenda. All right, so that covers that. It's just a sad deal. And it's one of those things, and you've heard this statement many times, I could dedicate 3 weeks worth of podcasts to black on white crime and throw one slide after another to you. And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it, left and right. You know it's true. You know, you honestly think a leftist woman doesn't avoid certain areas of New York City at night or in the day? She knows it. But imagine being that type of person. You know that your policies, the things that you vote for, those policies that you vote for are causing you to be unsafe, but yet you vote for them anyway, for what purpose exactly? If they were good, then why are you having to avoid certain areas of NYC? These are the policies that all these people, all these leftist women that hack off their hair, drive around minivans and eat fruit roll-ups all day long. All these women, and they're shouting for Mom Donnie now, they're the very policies that they're advocating for cause them to be unsafe, but yet they vote for them anyway, because they believe that at some point it's going to become good. It will never become good. Socialism never works. And all of your racial politics that is now your race hustling that is causing you to be unsafe at the hands of black men is now coming home to roost, but yet you vote for it anyway for some semblance of a greater good that doesn't exist. All right, so let's move on to Trump. Red Wave press video. Fox News, Madeleine Revere, on January 17th, Biden commuted the sentences of nearly, on one day, Biden commuted the sentences of 2,500 people on nonviolent drug crimes. On the evening of January 16th, is that my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I usually have that thing muted. On the evening of January 16th, internal emails obtained by the New York Post show White House Staff Secretary Steph Feldman sent an email to the West Wing lawyer saying she needs evidence Biden consented before authorizing a mechanical signature. Play for me.
As the New York Post reports, White House lawyers and the Justice Department were unsure about how to enact the president's clemency grants in his final days in office. On January 17th, Biden commuted the sentences of nearly 2,500 people convicted on nonviolent drug charges. The Post reports the debate over who to include in the pardons and how to modify their sentences came to a head on the evening of January 16th. Internal emails obtained by the New York Post show White House Staff Secretary Steph Feldman sent an email to West Wing lawyers saying she needs evidence Biden consented before authorizing a mechanical signature. One of the people who received the email, Deputy White House Counsel Taisha Dixon, reportedly sent the message to the Chief of Staff to the White House Counsel's office, Michael Posada, saying, "Michael, thoughts on how to handle this? He does not review the warrants." Biden told the New York Times earlier this year that he verbally approved every clemency decision, even if he did not personally sign the warrants, because he says there were a lot of them.
So this is all coming to light now. And this is all a big deal, because you have Ed Martin both looking into the Otto Penn signature legality and Ed Martin looking into the pardons, not just that all is one and the same, looking into the legality of the pardons from the electronic signature. And he's also looking into the J6 committee and the criminality that was committed there. And that, those people, of course, received those preemptive pardons from the Otto Penn. So are any of those preemptive pardons any good? Ed Martin, the same person, if you saw the pregames, looking into all of this. And this again, to Trump's credit, this is different. And I know all of us out there, we've heard it. We can choose to be black-pilled if we want to. I choose not to be black-pilled. I can't live that way. I can't just, oh, it's over. Because Trump is doing things differently than anybody else in history. I mean, seriously. I mean, whether it's, you know, the National Guard, which is staging right now outside of Chicago, with the National Guard taking over D.C., the blowing up of the cartel boat, which I fully support. A myriad of other things, the cutting of funding, the Roe v. Wade, a myriad of other things. And there's other things that I don't agree with either. But the good way out, 8 out of 10 times, I agree with Trump, and maybe even more than that. So here, though, this investigation is vitally important because of the pardons given to Democrats that need to be on trial. J6 committee members need to be on trial for destruction of evidence. They burned up, basically, figuratively speaking, literally and figuratively speaking, literally, digitally burned up all of their investigative material for the J6 committee. Why would you ever do that if it was righteous? If it was above board, I mean, all of us, when do we ever destroy things? We destroy them when they don't have any usefulness, or we destroy them when we're trying to hide something. So all of these people and why would they need a preemptive pardon when you were on a J6 select committee? Well, because you destroyed all the evidence, just like Hillary Clinton did with the 30,000 deleted emails. They destroyed all of their investigative material. So just looking at this thing real quick here. On the evening of January 16th of 2025, internal emails obtained by the New York Post show White House Staff Secretary Steph Feldman sent an email to West Wing lawyers saying she needs evidence. Why would she need evidence? I mean, does everybody see this? I mean, how many of you know this never occurs in the Trump administration? And here's the thing, it probably never occurred in any administration except for Biden's administration. Right. She needs evidence. Biden consented before authorizing a mechanical signature. Why would that be? Because obviously there was a lot of mechanical signatures that were done without authorization.
Yeah.
And all of these people now, right before now that they know they're leaving office, they want to have their butts covered. They want to make sure it's musical chairs and they're not left without a chair when the music stops. The New York Post, 6 minutes later, Deputy White House Counsel Tiesha Dixon, one of the email recipients, forwarded the message to Michael Posada, Chief of Staff to White House Counsel's office. Michael, thoughts on how to handle this? He does not review the warrants. You don't review the warrants? What he's talking about, the warrants, she is actually talking about, she's talking about the pardons, not warrants. This is people that don't know what they're talking about. He doesn't review the warrants? No, it has to be pardons because obviously the White House doesn't issue warrants.
Right.
So she's talking to him. He doesn't review the pardons. So who was pushing all these pardons? There's not a whole lot to say about this, except if you get it, because we're not in the know. But if all of these signatures for these pardons, these e-signatures, these what they call mechanical signatures, if they are invalid, these auto pen signatures, if they are invalid, all of these people need to be prosecuted. And here's the thing, again, and you've heard me make this argument many, many times. We cannot get into the realm of, well, we don't want to do it to them because they'll do it to us. They've already been doing it to us. You now have to fight back. The rules of the game have changed. It used to be when you left office, everything the prior administration did, good, bad, indifferent, criminal, non-criminal, was left in the past.
Yeah.
That's not the case now. Who changed it? We didn't change it. They changed it. Barack Obama and Joe Biden together over the Biden administration, last 4 years of the Biden administration, they changed the rules. I mean, think about it. We've had a presidential mansion raided. We've had Donald Trump brought up in 4 different jurisdictions on criminal and civil charges. Navarro in prison. Bannon in prison. Both of those people from this J6 committee that the auto pen signatures are, their auto pen signature, the auto pen signature exemptions applies to, that we now want to, pardons, we now want to prosecute. Those people sent Bannon and Navarro to prison. This is not tiddlywinks. These are not like low level games here. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
You have people sending people to prison on false pretenses. I can't get into it. I mean, again, it has to do with the ability of a select committee to issue subpoenas. They didn't have it because it wasn't a select committee, even though it was called a select committee because Jordan and Banks were kept off the committee and they replaced Jordan and Banks with Nancy Pelosi's Republican selections, which was Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. So it wasn't a select committee because the party and the minority didn't get to select their two members of the committee. So they weren't allowed then to issue subpoenas. They weren't, and then, so if you're not allowed to issue a subpoena and you issue a subpoena anyway, aren't you allowed to then blow it off? Which is what Navarro and Bannon did, and they went to prison for it. So the rules of the game have changed. I mean, we could have done the exact same thing to Eric Holder because Eric Holder, also Obama's former AG and best buddy, wingman, he also blew off a select committee subpoena, and Trump didn't do anything about it. Trump didn't go after Hillary either. But now the rules have changed. So all these people need to go to federal prison. And all these emails are showing is that the auto pen signatures were never actually approved. They're actually approved by staffers, which then makes all of these pardons invalid. And a key way to do it would be to subpoena and have testified Joe Biden. And you're like, well, you don't want to cross the... Listen, all those bridges are crossed, folks. I mean, Donald Trump was answering for criminal charges in West Palm Beach, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and New York City, all in 4 years, facing 900 years in prison. All those Rubicons have now been crossed. Those bridges have been crossed. Now we now have to fight. They have turned a knife fight into a gunfight, and we need to go ahead and grab it on, strap on the guns, figuratively speaking, of course. All right, let's go to the next one. We're in the Trump section of the show. Election wizard breaking Senate leader John Thune to trigger the nuclear option as early as tomorrow to fast-track President Trump's nominees, per the Daily Mail, I believe it says. Wow, it sounds like John Thune's getting on board.
Yeah, wow.
No, it does. He's going to trigger the nuclear option tomorrow. Aaron,
we
all know what the date is today because very important person was born today.
Yeah.
And this is September 8th, 2025. So Donald Trump was sworn into office, correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, on January 20th of this year,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Now, has anything changed in the Senate since then?
No.
Okay, how about the House?
Nope.
Okay, good. Oh, just checking real quick. Epstein flight log?
Hang on. Yeah. Nope, nothing.
Okay, nothing. Okay. Yeah. So, Johnny Thune has been in charge of the Epstein flight log and these nominees for all this time. But Johnny Thune has an R in front of his name, Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay, now what's his liberty score? 49%?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 49 because Corn is 51, right? So, John Thune now, our Senate Majority Leader, voted on and confirmed by the Republicans, which shows you that most of them are not on our side, because John Thune doesn't even vote with us the majority of the time, but yet is our Senate Majority Leader. Now, why wasn't this nuclear option triggered? Why wasn't it triggered a month ago?
Yeah.
About 2 months ago. Three?
Yeah.
Four? Because we are what? February, March, April, May, June, July, August. So we are, and then you have a few other days. So basically, we're 8 months in.
Yeah.
7 months and 18 days in. Why wasn't this triggered 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, 7 months ago? Because John Thune does not want to confirm Trump's nominees. You're like, but he has an R in front of his name. That doesn't matter. Everybody needs to realize, and if you're watching this show, you're obviously red pills, about 1,600 people watching right now, not counting Christian Television Network. But you're obviously red pilled. But we need to understand that people like Thune need to be primaried and removed. You're like, we won't win the primary. We might not, but he still needs to be primaried. People like John Thune don't need to be run, but you're like, people think, and I'm not saying my audience, not necessarily this group, but they're like, you know, we want to run candidates that will win. If we ran a radical like you, Tom, or Aaron, or Brent, or a lot of you that are watching, if we ran radicals like us, they wouldn't be elected. All right, let's say that's true. So we wouldn't be elected, so the Democrats would be able to institute their will. Okay, but you have John Thune in there, and the Democrats are able to institute their will.
Right.
So what's the difference? The for sure electable Republican who will vote with the Democrats, or a Democrat winning? What exactly is the difference? There isn't. And John Thune, why would he wait 8 months in to trigger the nuclear option? Why wouldn't he do it months ago? Because he doesn't want Trump's nominees. Do we honestly believe that John Thune voted for Donald Trump and not Joe Biden?
Heck no.
No, I guarantee he's best friends with Joe Biden. They've been on the Senate floor together, probably go out to eat together. So let's go to the next one. Let me show you. Gunther Eagleman video breaking: leader John Thune is cowering to Democrats to the Democrats who are stalling Trump's nominees. Play for me.
John Thune, you've got a problem on your hands here. I'm going to show everybody here these pie charts here so you can see the number of confirmed nominees, okay? President Trump is basically being asked to run a marathon with 20-pound weights on his ankles because he can't get his team confirmed. How is this different than what Republicans have done to Democrats in the past?
Dana, this is different from anything that's been done in history, and both when you've had Republican and Democrat presidencies and Republican and Democrat control of the United States Senate. This is unprecedented. It is historic. It is a blockade unlike anything we've seen. It is Trump derangement syndrome, totally on steroids, and it's got to be fixed. We can't sustain this. The president needs his team in place. The American people voted for that. They want him to be able to implement his agenda. He needs his people in these key positions in order to do that. So,
back to me. So let me just tell you what ticks me off. I can't say more than anything. I was going to say more than anything. Aaron, you side by side that at your will. Let me tell you what ticks me off almost more than anything. Are people acting like problems that they are causing bother them?
Right.
I just don't understand why this. That drives me absolutely crazy. It's again, we all need to be vaccinated to be free again. I mean, so you're giving me a solution to the tyranny that you're causing. Thank you so much. And the same thing here. You hear Thune. He runs the party line. He's making sure that he tickles the ears of MAGA people by saying, this is Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. Okay, then who's in control exactly of these nominees? Look at this. Aaron was pointing this out. I didn't even look at it. So Biden got 57 percentage of civilian nominees confirmed. 57% by Biden. Trump won 65%. Obama 90%. Now the more you're the more establishment you are, you're like, wait a minute, Tom. Obama was a Democrat, but George W. Bush is a Republican. There is no such thing, folks.
Yeah.
George W. Bush is a left-leaning centrist. Obama is a leftist. What's the difference? Left-leaning centrist versus leftist? That's all that, I mean, they're both globalist leftist bourgeois elitist. Both of them are. And of course, there's CIA ties to go back generations between the Bushes and the Obamas because it's all one giant symbiote circle bleep that you and I are not a part of. And neither is Trump. That's why he's at 0%. Even Biden got 57% and everybody hated Biden on our side, but he still got 57%. So why hasn't this happened? Now, Thune runs, makes himself sound like a Republican. This is how he goes home and campaigns. Thune goes home and he campaigns. And he talks about TDS and how much he loves Trump and then actually goes up and legislates against them.
Yep.
That's what happens. And nobody knows because nobody looks into it because people have a life. I look into it. So I know his liberty score because Aaron looks up the liberty scores because Aaron has no life either.
True.
So us together have no life. So we're able to, Brent has a partial life. That's why he's here only on Mondays and Fridays. And he's got to go on dates with his wife. Aaron and I don't do any of those nice things.
He gets Applebee's.
Yeah, he has Applebee's. Aaron and I get nothing. So anyway, Brent's, you know, he's just a super special guy. But anyway, so I mean, he makes himself sound like, you know, that he's a Republican. He's not. He's not. He's actually not a Republican. You understand? He votes against us 51% of the time. And the times that he does vote against us, when those votes have no impact, i.e., again, 8 times they brought up Obamacare onto the Senate floor. Right? 8 times.
Yep.
8 times onto the Senate floor. 7 out of the 8, they didn't have the votes to overturn Obamacare. And every single Republican voted to overturn it. Now, when we actually had the votes to overturn it, John McCain voted against it. And the other 7 times he voted for it.
Yep.
That is the American politic right there. That is the body politic of the United States of America. Bunch of phony losers like John Thune. So he sits there and he's talking about, this is just unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. You mean what you're causing?
Yeah.
Why are you acting stunned by a problem you're causing? That drives me absolutely insane. I mean, it would be like a guy who, you know, this gets into cop humor, but a guy who punches his wife in the mouth is mad about her bleeding. I just don't understand why she's bleeding. You punched in the face. That's John Thune. I don't understand why this is happening because you're causing it to happen. This is what you want to happen. And then all of his people continue to elect him over and over again because nobody actually checks the record and finds out that he votes with Democrats more often than he votes with Republicans. Here it is. Now, I'll set this video up. It's a Paul A. Cipulla video, Leader John Thune. All you have to do to confirm all of Trump's civilian nominees, remember, an administration is 4,000 people, so you have a lot of people that have to be confirmed in a very short period of time. And John Thune is purposely himself subverting that pace where he needs to be a very fast pace, and he's subverting it on purpose because he's actually a leftist. He really is. He can look side by side. He can look as conservative. He's got the right haircut. He's got the swoon over. Got the glasses on, the suit, you know, thin and trim, looks conservative, right? Yeah. And he's not. Not remotely. Now, all you have to do is vote them all in recess appointments. That's all you have to do. The Senate and the House go on recess in the month of August. How many recess appointments do we get?
Zero.
Zero. You know, because that's the current total is what I just showed you. Zero. He's at, still to this day, Trump has had zero civilian nominees confirmed in 8 months. Why? Who's been in charge of the Senate for 8 months? How many recesses have there been? Several.
Yep.
And whether it's a week, a day, or a month, you can get a million recess appointments done because you don't need a vote then. It's called a recess appointment. Oh, it's a political excuse for presidents to have their appointees appointed without having there be a vote. So it gets done. It's on purpose. And everybody, that's why you have Obama 90% confirmations.
Yep.
Because he used recess appointments. They all did. They all have. Biden got all of his recess appointments done. And we were running the Senate part of the time. Because everybody who calls himself a Republican is actually a Democrat who supports Joe Biden. But anyway, so here he is. This is John Thune right here. Listen, Paulie Spool of video. Leader John Thune on Saturday. This is from a month ago. Refused to adjourn the Senate. Why would he refuse a month ago? So this is early August. Why would he refuse to adjourn the Senate? Why would he do that? What you can do to avoid recess appointments, if you want to sabotage the president, Republican or Democrat, what you do is you have a skeletal assembly of senators stay there.
Yeah.
So that it's officially in session where it's not recessed. That's what John Thune did. You're like, Tom, it cannot be that inconspicuous. Oh, that conspicuous. Yes, it is. Does Trump know? Trump knows. Trump knows Thune's his enemy. He knows Thune's his enemy, but he still has to work with him anyway because he'll never get a civilian confirmation or any confirmation. But here we are 8 months in and not one civilian's been confirmed yet. And here's Thune setting up the skeletal session so that it can't be called a recess, so Trump can't have recess appointments. Play it for me.
It's a day to adjourn to then convene for pro forma session only with no business being conducted on the following dates and times: Tuesday, August 5th at 1, Friday, August 8th at 1:05, Tuesday, August 12th at 8 a.m., Friday, August 15th at 10:15 a.m., Tuesday, August 19th at 10 a.m., Friday, August 22nd at 9 a.m., Tuesday, August 26th at 12 p.m. noon, and Friday, August 29th at 7 a.m. Further, that when the Senate adjourns on Friday, August the 29th, it stand adjourned until 3 p.m. on Tuesday, September the 2nd, that following the prayer and pledge, the morning hour be deemed expired, the general proceedings be approved today, the time for the two leaders be reserved for the use later in the day, and the Senate resume the motion to proceed to calendar number 115, S2296. Finally, notwithstanding Rule 22, the cloture motion filed on Saturday, August 2nd.
See, you see him, he's setting up the prayer, the opening ceremony, so every day they're in session. So there is John Thune blocking Trump's civilian nominations by keeping the Senate in session. Why would he do that when Trump could have basically gotten all of his nominees confirmed via recess appointment during the month of August? Why would he do that if he's pro-Trump? See, I'm just trying to, and I know I'm beating a dead horse here, I'm trying to convince everybody that everybody's against us.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yep.
With a few exceptions, everybody's against it. These people don't want conservatism. They want, liberalism is too, they want a fascistic liberalism is what they want. A merging of governance and corporatism that they rule over. A have and a have not system, including John Thune. Go to the next one for me. Donald Trump's new social post. The Democrats have gone crazy. Civilian nominees confirmed via voice vote, unanimous consent. Oh, look at his, John Thune actually put that out. But John Thune's the one. Look at me. Look at this. Somebody see this freaking thing? Yeah. John Thune put this out, and John Thune is the one who's causing the problem. John Thune could have had all of those nominees done in the month of August, but he didn't go into recess on purpose so they couldn't be confirmed via recess appointment. And then John Thune puts out this post. Does everybody see how deceptive the world is that we live in? The heart is deceitful. I got Jaron. The heart is, stay on. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Go, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, it's so funny too, because as he's saying all the different stuff for that recess, which wasn't a recess, he goes, and no business will be conducted.
Right.
And no business will be conducted.
Right. And I mean, okay.
And
it's funny too, because Trump puts out his post, and Trump knows the whole time the person sabotaging him is John Thune.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the life. I mean, that is the world that you and I live in. Let's change subjects. Go to the next one. Davery Darkin's video just released the list of what was seized during the raid on John Bolton's home. This is why Trump is different. And I know this is old news now. John Bolton's home was raided a week ago. And I'm calling it raid. I don't care. I'm not executing a warrant. No, we're going to call it raid. We called Trump's the raid of Mar-a-Lago a raid. They are raids. And that's even what cops call them. But anyway, so Bolton's home was raided. Now, the list of what was seized during the raid on John Bolton's home and office has been obtained and includes folders labeled. Get this now. This is the, what was his title? Was he National Security Advisor? Was he NSA for Trump? I can't remember which was his title. Under Trump, anyway. Mm-hmm. I think it was NSA. But anyway, he had files in his house labeled Trump 1-4. The FBI is now investigating him for potentially criminally mishandling classified U.S. national defense information. Play it for me.
New details about what the FBI seized during a search of the home and office of former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton. NBC's Tom Winter is following this for us. What can you tell us, Tom?
So, Chris, these documents were unsealed as a result of an effort by NBC News and other media news organizations asking the court, because in the District of Maryland where this search and Bolton lives within the confines of that jurisdiction, we are able to get the search warrant returns, basically what they took. And you're looking at it right there on screen, the several cell phones, several computers, several USB drives, and then a white binder labeled Statements and Reflections to Allied Strikes, typed documents and folders labeled Trump 1-4. This document might be more notable for the information contained on the first page, which says that the FBI is searching for evidence that may show he illegally gathered, transmitted, or lost defense information or engaged in unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents or materials. That's what it says the reason for this search in the first place.
See, now what needs to happen to John Bolton is that which he supported over the last 4 years of the Biden administration, which is persecution via prosecution and bankruptcy via prosecution. Now he can enjoy it. Now he can hire all these attorneys at $600 an hour and defend himself and be bankrupted, just like General Flynn, just like Roger Stone, just like Navarro, just like Bannon. Trump wasn't bankrupted, but Trump spent millions upon millions of dollars in his own defense. Trump entered the White House in 2017 worth $4 billion. He exited the White House worth $2.7 billion. And how much did he lose over the 4 years of the Biden administration when he was being civilly and criminally prosecuted for basically the entirety of those 4 years? The moment that he announced that he was running for president, immediately all these lawsuits started and all these criminal prosecutions started. That is the level of corruption that you and I live in. That is the United States of America. Not the essence of the United States of America. Not what we were founded on, but that's what we have morphed into, beginning in 1913, which I don't have time to get into. All right, so that's the Bolton angle. Go to the next one for me. Paul Sperry tweet, breaking sources tell me FBI HQ has located a sensitive email a top Comey official, Randall Coleman, wrote to himself November 7th, 2016. Aaron, you ever written yourself an email?
No, probably not.
I don't think I've ever written myself
maybe,
an email.
Maybe
it's
once.
It's kind of weird because people have maybe to remind yourself of something, but they don't do that. They actually write exonerating emails, because Susan Rice did the same thing when she left the White House. She sent an email sent to herself telling herself that they did everything above board.
Oh, well.
I remember this day that we had this conversation and we did everything by the book.
Well, if she emailed herself.
She emailed herself telling her that. Telling herself. He uses that as evidence to exonerate herself. Let me writing my own pardon. Let's see. Tom Likely is pardoned for everything he's ever done. You see, I have a pardon.
Yeah, third party, too.
Right, right there. There it is. Aaron witnessed it. I signed it.
Yep.
wrote to himself November 7, 2016 to make, you're like, Tom, this is 2016. It's 2025. If we don't prosecute these people, they're coming back again. The very people that raided Mar-a-Lago were the ones that conducted the collusion hoax that were left over. Yeah, the ones who went to the magistrate in Florida to get that wacky warrant to raid Mar-a-Lago were the same people that were running the collusion hoax. Same thing, same people. Why? Because that's the evidence they were trying to get out of Mar-a-Lago, was the evidence that proved that it was a conspiracy against rights, the collusion hoax. To make sure, wrote himself, Randall Coleman wrote to himself November 7th an email to make sure the record showed, see what I mean? An exonerating email about yourself. He briefed McCabe to make sure that he could dump it on McCabe. Showed he briefed McCabe, the director of the FBI at the time, referenced discovery of 347,000, guys. Jeez. Plus Hillary emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop from her secured server. That nobody's in prison. And Weiner goes to prison for sending naked pictures of himself to a 14-year-old. But nobody, he's not in prison for this, and neither is Hillary. These were classified emails on Anthony, apropos named Weiner's laptop. Unsecured. And Randall Coleman makes sure that he sends himself an exculpatory email to make sure that he's off the hook, that he did, in fact, report it to the FBI director. Right. And McCabe, last three words, did nothing. Does everybody realize the level of criminality here? The level of criminality that you are the Secretary of State and you are sending classified emails to Anthony freaking Weiner and nobody's deleting them, and there's 347,000 of them on his laptop. And not just that criminality, but everybody had that in their possession and charged no one. Folks, saying that it's a two-tier justice system is the understatement of the century.
Yeah.
Folks, you and I, if we had one piece of classified information that we removed from a SCIF or that we weren't allowed to have, or we had it on an unsecured server, which is a violation of the law, you and I would go to prison now. Again, the example, the guy who snapped a picture on the submarine of the console he worked behind. He gets his camera out. A sailor making 17 grand a year. I'll take a picture. Takes a picture of the console that he works at. Doesn't reveal any nuclear. He goes to prison for a year.
Yep.
And gets dishonorably discharged. What does Hillary get for 347,000 classified emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop? Nothing. And this is not inconspicuous. This is in our face conspicuous. It's in our face, and nobody does anything about it. But Trump is. Trump is doing something. As much as I can't stand what Thune does, black-pilled people drive me nuts too. Because if you're going to lie to yourself and say that Trump does nothing good and that nothing's ever going to work, okay, then you're actually living... you're living a lie. You're living in a way that belies the truth. You're actually spouting out statements that belies the truth, because Trump is doing things different. Is he doing things perfect? No. No. But he's doing things very differently. And John Bolton's house has been raided. There are grand juries right now and paneled all throughout the United States to go after these people. He's impaneled Ed Martin to go after the auto pen signatures and those exempted, those that received pardons, exemptions via pardons from the auto pen. That never has happened before. So if none of it, after all of this happens and nobody goes to prison, John Solomon from Just the News said, if nobody's indicted by Christmas, then we'll know that it's not true. But we still got all of September, October, and November. Let's see what happens. I have hope. All right, let's go to the next one. Speaking of that, here's other things that nobody's ever done. And again, I'm using the word inconspicuous and conspicuous tonight. Conspicuous is in your face. Inconspicuous is behind the scenes trying to cover it up. I get it. I don't approve of it. I get people in government trying to cover up their illegalities, but these people aren't even covering them up. 347,000 emails? That's not even, that's just like, that's just brazenly saying, I'm committing crimes and I know I'm never going to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
I'm just going to brazenly commit the crimes. Look at, I mean, look at this. This isn't necessarily a crime yet. This is a GPQ video. Pete Hegseth, I played a little bit. I played like 40 seconds of this on the pregame. Pete Hegseth just announced an internal audit of Bill Gates founded company, Microsoft's digital cloud system, for being used by Chinese nationals to hack the DOD. I mean, do we realize that the digital cloud system used by our Defense Department is actually run by the CCP? I mean, this is not inconspicuous again. It's in our face. I mean, how in the world does this ever happen? And we're supposed to take advice from these people? We're supposed to follow these people's leadership? I'm not talking about the Trump administration. I'm talking about everybody else. Again, you're supposed to, again, with the hearing the other day, late last week, when you have RFK speaking against basically the FDA, the USDA, the NIH, and the CDC, and everybody's like, how dare you attack these institutions? Because they're incompetent and corrupt. How in the world does the Pentagon have a system, a cloud system? Aaron would understand this way more than me. Mm-hmm. A digital cloud system which backs everything you do at the Pentagon that is actually monitored and maintenance by the Chinese. Can anybody explain that to me? That would be like World War II. The antiquated systems of the time, the very early computer systems and everything else, we just had that monitored by the American Nazi Party. Or just the Nazis themselves. And you're like, it can't be, Tom. It cannot be that obvious. It is. We are that bad off. It is that obvious. But here's Pete Hegseth. Play it for me.
Last month, the Department of Defense was made aware of an Obama-Biden-era legacy program called Digital Escorts. For nearly a decade, Microsoft has used Chinese coders, remotely supervised by U.S. contractors, to support sensitive DoD cloud systems. The program was designed to comply with contracting rules, but it exposed the department to unacceptable risk. I mean, if you're thinking America first and common sense, this doesn't pass either of those tests. So I initiated an immediate review of this vulnerability, and I want to report our initial findings. So the use of Chinese nationals to service Department of Defense cloud environments, it's over. We've issued a formal letter of concern to Microsoft documenting this breach of trust, and we're requiring a third-party audit of Microsoft's digital escort program, including the code and the submissions by Chinese nationals. This audit will be free of charge for U.S. taxpayers. I'm also tasking the Department of Defense experts with a separate investigation of the digital escort program and the Chinese Microsoft employees that were involved in it. These investigations will help us determine the impact of this digital escort workaround. Did they put anything in the code that we didn't know about? We're going to find out. Additionally, all Department of Defense software vendors will identify and terminate any Chinese involvement in DoD systems. It blows my mind that I'm even saying these things. It's such common sense that we ever allowed it to happen. That's why we're attacking it so hard. We expect vendors doing business with the Department of Defense to put U.S. national security ahead of profit maximization. I'm committed, like the president is, to ensuring that our national security networks are secure. Again, it's America first, and it's common sense. This never should have happened in the first place, but once we found out about it, we've attacked it aggressively from the beginning, and we're going to follow all the way through the tape to make sure that this is addressed. So DOD is working in conjunction as well with our partners in the rest of the federal government to ensure that all U.S. networks are protected. God bless.
Sorry that the speech is off on that video. We don't know why that happens on the videos because they're good before and then somehow something happens in translation. I have no idea. Transition, translation, whatever it is, and suddenly the speech doesn't match the mouth. That absolutely drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Just so you know, whenever I see it, it drives me nuts. But anyway, we don't know why that is yet. Some kind of tech glitch.
We'll fix it.
We'll figure it out somewhere along the lines. We'll get it.
We're going to make tech great again.
But again, how in the world do you have the Department of Defense with the digital cloud system being used by Chinese nationals. It's set up by Chinese, monitored by Chinese, maintenance by Chinese. How does this happen? People just sell out our national security for their own personal profit. All right, let's go to the next one. Eric Doherty video. Let's go going to the border now. Breaking, ICE has just arrested Kenyan national who is a convicted sex offender in Tampon Tim's state of Minnesota. Play for me.
Our first stop is an address in Plymouth. It's the home of a convicted sex offender and former director at the Minnesota Department of Education, who Alpha News exposed in June, sparking an online firestorm over the state's hiring practices. Wilson Tindy, a Kenyan national, was convicted of sexually assaulting a sleeping woman in the Twin Cities after breaking into her home. Tindy pled guilty to the crime 9 years ago. A judge ordered his removal from the United States. But a federal judge ultimately ruled that Tindy's removal was not warranted. Tindy spent 18 months in ICE custody and then landed taxpayer-funded positions at two separate Minnesota state agencies. After our reports, Tindy's status has changed.
We really have to go through, work with our legal team to make sure that the conviction would qualify for, you know, removability from the U.S. So it did take us kind of a long time and a lot of research with help from our legal team, who are amazing. We did come up with an immigration charge because of his criminality. We do have, you know, a warrant of arrest for him today. So, you know, just praying all goes well and everyone remains safe during the arrest.
So this isn't a random pickup on the street today like the media likes to portray?
Right. Yep. It is not. Lots of hours went into this case.
ICE officers park blocks away to wait for the right moment to move in.
We're expecting him to leave the apartment, and normally he does go like northwest when he comes out of there. So we'll be probably the third car back.
He was heading towards his apartment.
Within minutes, they're on the move.
They got license tires on right now.
Walking up to the townhouse, Tindy is already in handcuffs in his garage next to his.
See, those are horrible, these horrible ICE Gestapo agents. There they are, the horrible ICE Gestapo agents. And again, violence against ICE officers gone up 800% since Trump took office because of the demonization from the left. Same exact things happening with the black on white crime problem. I.e. here, I don't know who his victim was, but Aaron brought up a very interesting point, which is the obvious one. What does this take to get deported?
Right.
Like, I mean, what exactly does it take to get deported, let alone hired as former director of the Minnesota Department of Education? A former director of the Minnesota Department of Education. He got that position after he broke in and raped the woman. Oh. Not only does he rape a sleeping woman, he broke into her house to do it. Wilson Tindy. Then he gets a job as the director of the Minnesota Department of Education under Tampon Tim Walz, and all the Democrats fight to keep him in the country. Yeah. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. We want to fight to keep Wilson in the country. A guy who breaks into a home, I mean, commits a burglary and a rape. We want to fight to keep him in the country. I wonder why Democrats have why they can't raise any money and they have the lowest approval rating in history. Because they want to keep him in the country. I want to ask the liberal women out there, leftist women. Okay, this is what you want. This your party wants to keep this man in the country, and you're for that? You're going to advocate with your party to keep him in the country? I guess you weren't the victim then. Then again, what does it take? I mean, you have basically a home invasion rape, and the Democratic Party is advocating to keep him in the country and calling the people that arrest them monsters and Gestapo members.
All right.
Go to the next one for me. Breaking 9/11 video, graphic details. Criminal illegal alien released under Sanctuary City law. Chrissy Van Hollen's Maryland, brutally murdered Maryland teenager. Play for me.
Interstate 97 in the Annapolis area. According to charging documents WJZ Investigates obtained, the suspect, 35-year-old Hugo Hernandez Mendez, threw her body off a highway bridge into the South River. She had skull and facial fractures. Her family identified her through tattoos.
At this time, there are no additional suspects. However, this investigation is ongoing.
Thompson, who lived with her dad, disappeared after going out to get gas. She sent him this text.
I should be back soon. I love you too. Good night.
The 19-year-old is seen on surveillance video leaving her SUV behind in Hyattsville. According to charging documents, she approached the suspect's GMC Yukon and after approximately a minute of conversing, walks over to the passenger side of the vehicle and gets into the passenger front seat. Police say they drove to his house in Bowie and believe he killed her in his bedroom. A roommate reports hearing the defendant having sex and then a grunting noise, which made it believe that someone wasn't enjoying the sex. After executing a search warrant, police found what they believed to be the victim's blood and missing fingernail, along with hair and other evidence in the bedroom and in the trash, along with multiple pairs of women's underwear and lingerie. Hernandez Mendez agreed to an interview, telling detectives he went to a nightclub to meet his ex-girlfriend, but never did. When detectives questioned further, the defendant denied any involvement. Prince George's officials say Hernandez Mendez was in the United States illegally. U.S. Park Police arrested him for a DUI 5 months ago, but let him go.
The U.S. Government has made status of individuals relevant. This was someone who was in their custody, and they made the decision to release him. So I think the questions should be asked of the Justice Department.
Quote of the night from Aaron Yeager, our producer. Don't you just love it when the Justice Department works? Don't you just love it? Okay, so he, again, what does it take to be deported? He already got arrested for a DUI. Why wasn't he not deported then? And by the way, this is Chris Van Hollen. Where's Chrissy this time? Chrissy Van Hollen, the man who actually flew down to El Salvador to have the margarita with Gilmar Brego Garcia. Where is Chrissy this time? Because this is what Chrissy advocates for. Chrissy Van Hollen, Senator Chrissy Van Hollen for the state of Maryland. This is Maryland Man too. And by the way, that's how ABC News characterized it. Yeah. Maryland Man. Again, that guy right there, Maryland Man. And Aaron brought up another point. This is Aaron's story. Where's Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
You had a Hispanic guy pick up a woman, bash her skull in, dump her off the side of the road, and no BLM. Oh, that's right. Because it doesn't fit the political narrative. So, yeah, you have to have a white person do it, not a guy who checks two boxes. He's Hispanic and illegal.
Right, right.
So, that black life now doesn't matter because the person who murdered that black life checks boxes that the Democratic Party has no interest in prosecuting.
Right.
Or getting rid of. Or deporting. I wonder if he'll ever, now he'll get deported because of the Trump administration. But I wonder if Biden was president right now, there'd be people advocating to keep him in the country. So the parallels are unbelievable. There's another Maryland man and Chris Van Hollen is nowhere to be found. And these people are absolutely, I'm talking about Chris Van Hollen, let alone, of course, the murdering savage is a disgusting human being. But the senator who advocates to keep people like him in the country are worse. They're worse because they cause much greater levels of destruction because they keep a large number of these people in the country.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Dapper detective video. New two illegal aliens labeled by the Democrats as asylum seekers and fruit pickers.
Ah.
Just like ICE agents are Gestapo members, illegal murderers, rapists are asylum seekers. These were labeled by the left asylum seekers and fruit pickers. Have been arrested now and sentenced for operating a burglary ring targeting people of Asian descent across 8 states. Play for me.
Nationals have been sentenced for their roles in a multi-state burglary ring that primarily targeted people of Asian descent. Prosecutors say the group used drones and GPS trackers to monitor the victims' movements. Then they robbed homes in 8 states, including New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Investigators say that in one robbery, the group stole $100,000 worth of items from a Gorham home. Jorge Andre Cardenas Murillo of Colombia was sentenced to 4 years in prison. An immigration detainer has also been issued against him. Meanwhile, Mohammed Islam of Bangladesh has been sentenced to 33 months in prison.
Mohammed Islam, that's his name.
Shocker.
And he's been sentenced. All right, so now it's time for Big Tommy to have some fun. All right, so we have health expert, Aaron, if you could side by side this. Here's health expert, Chris Christie. here's his opinion of RFK. Play for me.
So I want to know, you think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the best man to be leading public health? No. Answer the question.
It's not my decision.
You're supporting his decision.
I support his decision.
You just called him a humble, qualified man. So you think he's the best person to lead public health
in this
country?
I think he's the best.
Bring it back. Sorry, the voice stuff keeps getting screwed up. But anyway, we'll get that tech figured out somehow. So there, Chris Christie calling RFK basically a charlatan. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, here, you can just side by side this one. Here's Chris Christie, health expert. This walking into a building. So that's Chris. Jeez. Now, this is the guy who says that RFK Jr. doesn't know what he's talking. Bring it back to the beginning one more time for me, would you guys? So here's the health expert from the Democratic Party. There you go. So there you go. Just bringing him in. Bring it all the way back to the beginning. Can you do that? There we go. Got to see the exit. There we go. That's the health. I mean, how do your pants stay up? Can anybody tell me that? Because how does that work?
That's a massive belt.
I mean, because I'm assuming that's going. What do you call, Aaron, the fat layer that goes over your.
Like the fupa?
The fupa.
Because I'm assuming the belt's going on top of the fupa.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's not underneath the fupa.
Oh, no, that's like up to his waist.
Right, so that's how their pants fall down really easily, yeah. Right? Somehow or another.
Yeah.
All right, so that's health expert Chris Christie. Let's go to the next one. Ian Yeager video. Health expert Chris Christie back with his interview with Barbara Walters. Play for me.
I'm sitting opposite you. But you are a little overweight.
More than a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. If I could figure that out, I'd fix it.
Do you try to diet?
Oh, Barbara, I've had more diets and lost and gained back more weight in my lifetime than I care to count.
There are people who say that you couldn't be president because you're so heavy. What do you say to them?
No, it's ridiculous.
I love it when people say, I don't know why I'm fat. Now, I've been fat lots.
Yeah.
I've spent most of my adult life fat. I mean, I've been fatter than I should be. I've lost the same 40 pounds 40 times. I mean, I'm not dealing with, Chris Christie's dealing with 250. Like, he needs to be losing like 200 pounds. I'm dealing with 40 pounds that I take on and off a bunch of times. I'm like mid-fat right now. I'm mega fat, mid-fat, and lean. Right now, I'm mid-fat. But anyway, I keep all those clothes at those different levels too. But I love when people say, I don't know why I'm fat. I know why I'm fat. It's very simple. The reason why you're fat is you eat too much, and you eat more than you burn. That's why you're fat.
Yeah.
I love when people act like it's a mystery. It's like John Thune. I don't know why the nominees haven't been confirmed, because you refuse to confirm them, John. There's really no mystery here. Now, Chris Christie doesn't want RFK in, but he wants this person in. See Reason video. Play for me.
What would you say to folks who think that they're being reasonable by saying, why can't children just wait till they're 18?
Adolescence is hard and puberty is hard. What if you're going through the wrong puberty? What if you inside feel that you are female, but now you're going through a male puberty?
The argument is, well, they're too young to know.
I want to make it clear that for prepubertal children, there are no medical procedures done. The standard of care allows them to explore that with therapy.
Oh, so there you go. That's what Chris Christie wants, the status quo. He wants Richard Levine, who goes by Rachel, a fully penis man wearing a dress and acting like a woman. And it's impossible for him to act like a woman. But I love, again, the fake voice. So they all try to talk like this whenever they're doing an interview, but they actually have a voice that sounds like a man, because you know what? They are, in fact, a man. But imagine advocating as Chris Christie did on that. The first video I showed was from 2 days ago, 2-3 days ago. And then we went back in time. But Chris Christie is actually advocating for the status quo to stay in place. The status quo is a man dressed as a woman talking about men going through a male puberty and not wanting it and trying to fix it. As if that can ever be fixed, which it can, of course. All right, that's good. 10:12 tonight. Hope everybody's doing. Oh, man, look at holy moly.
Those are all birthday wishes.
All birthday wishes. Thank you guys so much. I'll still donate them to Applebee's night for Brent. But Rumble Rants tonight, Keeper 1376, $25. Robin Aroni, $25. Jules 21 Hours, $20. Gucci Buckeye, $20. Alligator Alcatraz, $20. Harry Tackle, $20. Naz Yeager, $10. Tim L. T-Bird, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Appreciate you. Love you. Listen, the post game is really good. It's got some serious stuff in it. It ends with a little Chris Christie video that you got to see that I just found to be really funny. So stick around for the post game. Also, love you guys in the chat too. Didn't say that yet. Stick around for the post game. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.